It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. A reminder, why am I not hearing Charity Nebbe's voice at this time? Yes, we are doing things a little bit differently due to the impeachment trial. Our news talk show, River to River, which I usually host at noon, has been preempted by that coverage. And so during these few days of the impeachment trial, some of the conversations normally on River to River are finding a home here on Talk of Iowa. My guest for this next portion of the program is a person from New York who has focused on social justice throughout his journalism career. Kai Wright is the editor and host of WNYC's Narrative Unit, also a columnist for The Nation. His reporting and writing has examined racial justice, economic inequity, health care, sexuality. He's the author of Drifting Toward Love, Black, Brown, Gay, and Coming of Age on the Streets of New York, as well as two surveys of Black American history. On Monday night, Kai Wright will be at the University of Iowa for a live taping of his podcast called The United States of Anxiety, Building a Multiracial Democracy in 2020. Now, before we talk with Kai, let's listen to part of a trailer for that podcast, The United States of Anxiety, Season 4 from WNYC.
We launched the United States of Anxiety to try to understand American politics by connecting our past to our present lives. It was the summer of 2016, right as Donald Trump claimed the Republican nomination. And we followed some of his most ardent supporters.
And it wasn't until I went to his rally, and it totally blew me away. I left there crying, you know, choking up. I'm like, oh my God.
Trump's election forced questions we have avoided answering for far too long. Who is this country for? Who gets access to its rights and its privileges and its wealth? This season, we are once again going to spend time with voters all over the country looking for answers in their lives. But this time, we're going to connect those stories to what I believe to be the true start of the American Project. The years right after the Civil War, as formerly enslaved people walked into their future.
They thought that this kind of prejudice and hatred was something of the past, that this was old now, that they're moving forward.
Well, we know that's not quite how it worked out. So more than 150 years later, we are still trying to pull off living together. All of us. Together. And in this election, we may have to finally decide whether we really want to.
A little portion of the trailer to the podcast, United States of Anxiety, Season 4 from WNYC. Kai Wright, the host of that program, joins me now. Welcome to our program, Kai.
Thanks for having me.
Excited about the event on Monday, January 27th at 7 p.m., a live taping of your podcast, The United States of Anxiety. We heard got a good sense from that trailer portion about the focus of your podcast. Tell us more about what will be happening on Monday's event.
Well, we're really setting our broader set of ideas about the podcast there in Iowa and having a conversation about what these things mean locally. The thing is that, you know, where we're coming from with this show is the United States is really, it's an idea. We often forget, you know, one nation, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. It's an idea. And so few of us, left, right, and center, black and white, all races, so few of us really, really understand where that idea came from, how it came to be, what we fought over about operationalizing that idea over the years. And a lot of what we're trying to do with this podcast this season is to just remember those things, remember where they came from, remember what it's all about. And when we come on Monday night, we want to sit down with a historian of an Iowa historian about who has studied race and Reconstruction in the area. We're going to sit down with some people who are fighting right now for the things they believe in the state, from a variety of walks of life, some elected officials, some activists, and have a conversation about both these American history ideas and how they've been operationalized in Iowa and what they mean for this election as we enter it.
Mm-hmm. That will be before a live audience, and then eventually find a, I imagine an edited version of that will be put out as a podcast?
We might just play the whole thing straight.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
In podcast land, you can do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we hope to hear, you know, the idea is it's going to be a conversation. So, you know, I'll say some words and we'll have panelists up on stage that will sort of wrestle through these big ideas. But really what we want to do is talk to people in Iowa who are about to go vote.
Right.
Have this enormous responsibility of beginning the election season for all of us.
Right.
And talk about, you know, what is the history that we carry into the polls as voters, and what is the and how does it impact our own individual lives today, and how is it going to shape what kinds of votes we're going to make?
Right.
You know? And so we want to hear from people about that.
Right. Kai, we have to go away for just a few minutes. We'll be back in just a moment. Now that you've placed that weight of responsibility on us Iowans, we want to continue our conversation with you, Kai Wright, host of the podcast, The United States of Anxiety. We'll talk more about his mission in that podcast of connecting the past with the present. Kai Wright, stay where you are. We'll be right back. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. And we're back with more of Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're sharing the airwaves river to river with Talk of Iowa on some of the conversations. If you just tuned in, because of the Senate impeachment trial lopping off coverage of river to river, Kai Wright is my guest for the rest of the hour, host of the podcast, The United States of Anxiety. On Monday, January 27th in the evening, there'll be a live taping of his podcast produced by WNYC, The United States of Anxiety, Building a Multiracial Democracy in 2020. This season, I guess, looking at the years right after the Civil War and bringing it up into the time. How do you explain how you do that, Kai? What is what is going on? Why do we want to go back to the middle 1800s?
With some great effort. Well, because, I feel like we are kind of still there. You know, I mean,
In what ways? Yeah.
Well, the ideas that came upon when we left the Civil War, Eric Foner calls it the second founding of the United States, historian Eric Foner. And that's because in that moment, we said, okay, here's a reset. What is this country really going to be about? And in the 13th Amendment that freed slaves, in the 14th Amendment that tried to define what freedom meant, in the 15th Amendment that tried to say, okay, well, what does voting look like in the United States? And for the next, 20, 30 years following the Civil War, we developed all of these ideas that we now, that so left, right, and center, again, that all of us sort of take for granted as this is what America is about. Mm-hmm. Liberty and justice for all, mm-hmm. one nation, indivisible. And we just, but we never really settled on, do we truly believe those things? We
right.
Never...
And Jim Crow crept into the picture.
Well, because very soon Jim Crow crept into the picture, and immigration restrictions crept into the picture. And we've been debating from our economy, from our border. Now, when we think about climate change, almost everything we are debating about, we are debating today, is caught in a question that we raised following the Civil War. Who is this country for? Who all gets the rights and responsibilities of this country? Who has access to its wealth? And how do we codify that? And so I feel like we're still stuck in that debate. Mm-hmm. And so we want to remind our listeners of, here's where it started. Here's where the ideas then, and then think about, how does that show up in our lives today? What are we doing in our lives today? And that's where it gets both hard as a storyteller, but also kind of fun.
Right.
You know, And the first episode, I spend it in Mississippi, in the Delta of Mississippi, hanging out with these 94-year-old black farmers who have land that they inherited going back six generations. And it is their belief that they inherited, that they got the land through 40 acres and a mule, which was the policy after slavery to give formerly enslaved people access to 40 acres and a mule. It's largely a myth, but this is what these people believe about their land. And so I spend some time learning the true history of that land, and it was really exhilarating for me because it. And I'm not going to tell you what the true history is. You're going to have to wait for the first episode on January 30th. Yep. But you see how something that seems so distant, you know, 100 years ago is present right here, right now in the Mississippi Delta, and is shaping the political debate in the Mississippi Delta today through the history of this land.
Mm-hmm. Kai Wright, when you in your podcast, you bring us back to the Civil War and say it's very similar. The themes are similar to what we're looking at today. Questions we've never really answered as a nation for ourselves. So when I first saw this, heard this podcast and sort of acquainted myself with its themes, you know, Civil War is big and scary. We thought that settled something. Yeah. I was recently teaching a class of retired people here in Iowa, over 100 people in the audience, people who've lived through the 50s, 60s, you know, the tumult of like 1968 and so forth into the 70s. Now they're retired. I took a poll. They have, in their lives, never been more fearful about the state of our nation than they are today with their decades behind them, and they predate us. There's been a lot of talk about how the present day feels like. It's ramping up to an actual civil war. You're talking about similarities with the Civil War era. What is your view? Could you imagine major upheaval, something bordering, approaching civil war?
Well, I can imagine anything, to be quite honest. I mean, could we have imagined the last 2 years, last 3 years of American politics?
Good point.
We have imagined Barack Obama? Could we have imagined a black president?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things that have happened in my lifetime that I couldn't have imagined. I am a black gay man from Indiana. I couldn't imagine that I would have had the right to get married. I do. You know, there have been, my mother was of an age where she couldn't have imagined that she could go to the bathroom where she chose at some point in her life. So the unimaginable has consistently happened in American history, and who knows what lies ahead of us. It is certainly the case that I believe that this is the most consequential election of our lifetimes. Unless you were alive and voted in, say, 1932, if you didn't vote in that election, this is probably the most consequential election you've ever voted in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I should say, just because of Donald Trump. It's because, and this is what I think those people you're mentioning are feeling. It's because on so many issues we are at the breaking point: climate, guns, job, how people feel around their jobs and their earnings, access to healthcare. On all of these things, we're really at the breaking point. And I think when you look at those things and you look at what's at the center of them, over and over and over again, the thing that is bringing us to the breaking point is our inability to come to a consensus on what we mean by liberty and justice for all, and who has access to all of the rights and privileges of the United States, and what kind of decisions we make based on that when we decide who fits inside that definition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, and immigration is obviously the most stark example of that, but you can do it on a whole host of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at this breaking point, and we're at a point where we all are going to have to decide what kinds of risks we're willing to take in order to make our way forward. And I think you're seeing that quite strikingly in the Democratic primary, right? I mean, that's really the debate people are having is, you know, what am I willing to shake up? How much am I willing to shake up? What am I willing to sacrifice to potentially lose in order to see forward from this place we're in?
If you've just joined us, Kai Wright is my guest for this portion of Talk of Iowa, host of the podcast United States of Anxiety. Well, let's focus even a little bit more on the primary season, focus on the caucuses coming up. The Iowa caucuses, the first battleground date of this primary season, February 3rd. When we focus on the caucuses, let's talk a little bit about how you see the caucuses serving that winnowing of the field. Of course, there's been a lot of talk about diversity, or now, since Kamala Harris, Cory Booker have dropped out of the race, the lack of diversity. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, the lack of diversity is, of course, striking. It has been striking throughout the history of American politics. With the, you know, it's always fun to note, when, since we're talking about Reconstruction in the era after the Civil War, there were more black people serving in Congress in that first 10 years or so after the Civil War than served in Congress for the next 100 years.
No way. That's a little known fact.
That's a little known fact. We have been far more diverse than we are today. At the time when we were saying, okay, liberty and justice for all, what does that mean? And trying to operationalize it, there was a period in our history where we really, really were trying. And that's the era I want to hark back to in this podcast. But to answer your question about today, I think what's striking and probably every voter in Iowa who's on their way to the polls is probably feeling this, you know, is that the core choice really is, do I feel like we need a fundamental change, that we have to throw what we've been doing out and really fundamentally change? Or do I feel like we need to tweak what we're doing and get back to something that was normal? That really is the debate in this in this primary. What are the times, you know, where we have made huge strides? What has it taken? And in one case, it took a war, and that's unfortunate. But in many other cases, it's taken really dramatic action. It's taken big, big breaks with what happened before in order to really move forward on the idea of liberty and justice for all. And so that's an argument for the folks who are saying, hey, no, we need big structural change right now. Mm-hmm. Other folks can say, well, listen, you know, we have nonetheless inched forward many times, right? We forget that in the debate over healthcare, you know, the expansion of Medicaid under Obamacare, which was a very institutionalist change, it was an incremental change, was the largest anti-poverty program since the 1960s. It tens of millions of people got insurance and had their lives changed as a consequence of that. So it really boils down to, you know, do you believe we can inch our way forward, or do you believe we have to have a big break? There's examples of both in history. There's examples of both in history.
Mm-hmm. Back to this question, another slightly different question about diversity. We talked about Kamala Harris, Cory Booker dropping out. Julian Castro, the former Housing and Urban Development Secretary, you know, says the lack of diversity in Iowa, in our state, presents problems as the first national battleground. Just to remind ourselves, population of Iowa, more than 90% white. New Hampshire, for instance, 93% white. The nation's population, about 60% white. So do you share that criticism that Castro has about Iowa being in this leadoff position? Does he have a point?
Well, you know, I'll withhold judging what the Democratic Party should do with its primary sector. But I'll say, on Monday night, we are going to be talking about this, and we're going to hear from Iowans who have opinions about it. We will hear from, for instance, Joe Henry, who is a national advisor with the League of United Latin American Citizens, and he is going to be talking about, well, you know what, in Iowa, there are Latinos here, and we are an important part of this state, whatever race you are, as you go into the polls, we should be thinking about that. You know, we're going to hear from Reverend Abraham Funches, who is in Waterloo, and has done a great deal of human rights and civil rights work. We're going to hear from Deirdre DeGeer, who, as you know, ran for Secretary of State there in 2018, first black candidate to win a major party primary. And all of these folks are going to be talking about, you know, whatever the demographics of Iowa are, it is not 100% white. And there are people here of all walks of life. And as we vote, you know, and this is the challenge I think all Americans face, not just in Iowa, but period. What do you take into those polls? How do you think beyond yourself when you walk into the polls? How do you think about the country altogether? How do you think about your state altogether? And I think it may be the wrong debate to focus on whether it's appropriate for Iowa to go first. I don't know if it is or not, but whoever goes first, the people who go into the polls, white people and everybody, needs to be challenging themselves to say, okay, well, who am I representing now as I walk into here? What am I thinking about as I walk in here? Who walks in with me?
We've got about 5 minutes left of this conversation, Kai. I wanted to get your thoughts on what we're witnessing in the impeachment trial of Donald Trump, and how that fits into the context, the historical context that the United States of Anxiety, your podcast, has.
Well, it certainly leads to that feeling of, oh my goodness, we're at the precipice of war. I have often said, I mean, this moment feels very much like 1858, 1860, as we led up to war. I'm not saying we're necessarily headed to violent conflict, but in terms of there are just fundamental, unbreachable differences between the powers at the top of our government and between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party of our government. There are unbreachable differences at this moment.
What about the media landscape of that time? I don't know if you've dug into that yet, but that's got to be part of your look back and comparison. Were the papers that partisan as we find in our media today?
Oh, of course. I mean, the papers have always been quite. I mean, but it's a fairly modern idea that media is supposed to be sort of an objective referee. Journalism has a long history of being tied for advocacy. I think the bigger question is just how much people feel like I cannot move forward if my side doesn't win. And there is. There has been a feeling, I would argue, in the Republican Party that has built over the past decade, really over the course of Barack Obama's presidency, in part leading to Donald Trump's presidency, that if my team is not in charge, I throw out all of the institutions, I throw out all of the values that the country is supposed to stand for, and that was very much where the Confederacy was coming from.
Right.
And it feels like that's where the Republican Party is coming from right now. And that's what this impeachment, for me, feels like a debate over, is whether and how you can restrain that idea that I can do whatever I want with government is as long as it's on behalf of me and mine.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that clip that we heard from your trailer to the woman recalling going to her first Donald Trump rally and crying. You could hear the passion in her voice, the pent-up desire for something different. So in the final minute or so of this program, what is your vision of our country that is not the U.S. of anxiety? Can we get there? How will we get there? It seems kind of like a fairy tale right now, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, to some it's always seemed like a fairy tale, right? I mean, but as I said earlier, you know, my mother was alive when she couldn't go to the bathroom where she wanted. I have been alive as a gay man where I couldn't, where my relationship was illegal. I could be put in jail for being in love with my boyfriend. So we can achieve great things in the United States, and I think that what we have to remember is that it is not, and what history teaches us is that it is not a linear process of, oh, you know, we fought for this liberty and now we have it in the end. The point is that this country is about an ongoing and never-ending debate over how do we create liberty and justice for all? Who is included in that all? And I think that's very much the debate we're having in this election.
Kai Wright, what a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to welcoming you here to Iowa Monday, January 27th in the evening, a live taping of Kai Wright's WNYC podcast, The United States of Anxiety, Building a Multiracial Democracy in 2020. Kai, it's been a delight. Get ready for some snow coming to Iowa.
Well, I welcome it. I welcome it. And thanks for having me. And I hope you'll subscribe to The United States of Anxiety. We drop on January 30th.
Talk of Iowa is produced by Caitlin Harrop, Rick Brewer, and Matt Alvarez. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa, also River to River, available at iowapublicradio.org. Charity Nebbe will be back on Talk of Iowa on Monday. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.